Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with...
Septime Weber, Artistic Director of the Washington Ballet and the choreographer of Alice in Wonderland.
Luis Torres, Ballet Master to the Studio Company and Trainee Program, and also a dancer in Alice in Wonderland.
All right, thanks for joining us at WTOP here. Now, the show is going to be at the Kennedy Center, right? What are the dates?
Right, May 6th through 17th.
6th through 17th.
And it's going to be a rollicking ride.
A rollicking ride from the 6th through the 17th. You heard it here. Sep team, we've interviewed other people about you, but it's nice to finally meet you because we did the Nutcracker and Sleepy Hollow. How do you go about choosing what the show is going to be? I mean, how did you pick Alice in Wonderland of all things?
A few years ago, I was in Hawaii working on a project, and I spent my one day off on the North Shore. And I knew I wanted to do a ballet that would... be a ballet for adults, but also have a kid component to it, so adults could come with or without their kids. And I thought Alice in Wonderland would be kind of interesting, and I read it one bucolic afternoon on the North Shore in Oahu. Yeah, right where the pipeline happens in February, but it was August, so it was really placid, and it just was the most amazing experience. And I knew it could become something really very physical, kind of... Well, actually, when it premiered first, the Washington Post referred to it as a trippy Alice.
Alice is always pretty trippy, but...
Sure. So I worked with a Cirque du Soleil designer, Liz Vandal from Montreal, and just we came up with this really... it's a beautiful story, but it's also really flamboyant and quite outrageous.
Nice. Now, you're sitting on the beach, and is this the musical book, or what are you
reading? I'm just literally reading the Lewis Carroll book from the 1850s. Actually, it's two books, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass. And so I distilled, it's a really big travel story, but I kind of selected pieces that I thought would be really, tell the most amazing story. And also, I wanted characters that would be interesting to develop with the company of dancers I had. So I had, I knew that I wanted the fish and the frog to be these outrageous dances for then Nayan Iovino and Dilate Ndlovu, a Brazilian and a South African dancer. And I modeled them, for example, after David Bowie and Elton John in the 1970s. Just throughout the whole, when I was reading the book, I could just see these
which
pop
one's the
culture
frog
references.
And which one's the other one?
Andile is definitely the frog. He can jump pretty high.
Nice. So are you're just sitting there. Are you actually jotting notes in the margins?
Or yeah,
are you just
I'm taking notes and I'm already developing casting when I'm reading. And I'm also thinking about, we have an original score, which I hope we get a chance to talk about. And it's a classical chamber group, but with lots of contemporary references. For example, Tweedledee and Tweedledum is this really great duet for two men, really virtuosic and pretty kick-ass, actually. And I suggested to this very classical composer that he should be influenced by the theme from Starsky and Hutch. It seemed like they could be like these two 70s TV crime show theme could be interesting. So you hear this kind of disco waka waka in the background. It's really pretty
for Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Right.
Starsky D and Hutch Dum, right?
Right. Well, in the studio we've been calling them Tweedledum and Tweedledummer, but either way.
Minus the orange and powder blue suit. Yeah.
Exactly.
As a performer in the show, what role do you play?
So I play Alice father, I play King of Hearts, and I also do the Cheshire Cat.
Oh, wow. So you're the Cheshire Cat. Were you familiar with the Disney version as a kid? Or when did you first encounter the Cheshire Cat?
Yes, I encountered Cheshire Cat with the Disney version. I saw the cartoon and their smile and the disappearing and the appearing and the upside down and the floating. So that was my first encounter.
That's just got to be such a juicy, as you said, trippy role to play.
It is very trippy and it's very jazzy. And the fun part about it is that I was the original, so I was collaborating with Septime Weber to create the role. So we created a lot of fun things where Alice sometimes never touches the floor. So it's really a great duet. Yeah. It's very exciting.
How was that done? How has she not touched the floor? I mean, I know we got to come to the show to see, but give us a little hint of how that works.
So it's partnering work where we're able to create different lifts to appear that she's floating, and the way the lighting is done, so she's upside down, she's sideways, we toss her, we turn her in the air. It's really exciting, and you get a better visual if you come see it.
Absolutely.
And I know people listening don't know that Luis is a big strapping guy, and Maki Onuki, his partner as Alice, is a little feather of a dancer. Yes. So he's got her up in the air doing crazy stuff. It's
How'd
really
you go
amazing.
About casting her?
She's this unusual technician who all dances with such fearlessness. So she's got an amazing world-class technique. She's Japanese and been one of our ballerinas for over 10 years.
Oh, and so she's been here in D.C. Yes, doing that for
yes,
10 years.
And
okay.
She's just got this amazing jump that comes out of nowhere and almost looks like she's completely effortless. And she's got a lot of moxie, too. So it was a real natural fit.
Yeah. Nice. Do you, set team, do you have a favorite number? When you sit and watch it, I mean, I know you're attached to all of them, but when you sit and watch it, do you want to say that? I'm really proud of that one.
You know, I like things that, I like it when the dancers surprise me. That's my favorite thing. Well, two favorite things is when dancers surprise me. So the roles, for example, the Cheshire Cat and Alice, this is filled with such virtuosity. It's always a surprise. There's this Slinky Caterpillar number, Sona Karate and our beautiful Armenian ballerina, lifted aloft by six strong men, and she literally never touches the ground, and she worms her way through the space. Just amazing. And I like those moments when dancers can astonish me, because I'm in it. And so I'm at the back of the house during the show. I actually don't have a function, so I get entertained by them surprising me. Yeah. But I also like, in all honesty, ballet is so, in so many ways, based on earnestness and tragedy and real emotional feelings, which is wonderful. So, but that means belly laughs are really rare. And I'm a grown up now, but I grew up in a family of eight brothers, and we're all still kind of like 12-year-old guy humor. So I've encoded Alice in Wonderland with funny moments that just make me laugh.
Nice.
And so I like that too.
Sounds like you got a little highbrow and lowbrow in this.
Ballet. That's the postmodern condition. It's how we live. We like it uptown and we like it downtown.
Yeah, all at once, everything. Yeah. Do you have a favorite number?
My favorite scene, it's the trial scene when she's captured and the whole company's on stage, and Septim does a great job visually and also choreographically, because it's like organized chaos, but you can see each character come to life even though everybody's there at once. The music, the movement, the chaos, the story comes to fruition in that scene, and it's very, very colorful. The actual scenery, it's very vibrant, and to have everybody at once saying something and doing something is very entertaining. And you have the technique, you have the funny jokes, you have the inside jokes, you have the story. So that's my favorite scene.
Awesome. Tell me about the costuming a little bit. I mean, we have some really lavish characters. We have the rabbit, the Mad Hatter, Cheshire Cat, I mean, the Queen of Hearts. You know,
sure.
How did you go about noodling ideas for how you're going to visualize it?
Liz Van Dahl, my collaborator, who's, again, the Cirque du Soleil designer, she brought on board someone also in Montreal that she worked with, which is a fabric technologist. So all of the fabrics for the 120 costumes were actually white, and everything is printed. So every pattern was specially printed.
Okay.
So this pool of 12 flamingo corps de ballet have flamingo feathers sort of print laser printed on their costumes.
Awesome.
The Mad Hatter's outrageously colored patterns are based on some Mackenzie Childs designs, actually teapots and tea kettles that I saw at Neiman Marcus one day and sent over. So it's pretty crazy. They're really the idea was period silhouettes filtered through a high fashion lens with a bit of outrageous circus to boot. So again, there's that highbrow aspect of it, but then not afraid to get a little outrageous and a little dirty, down and dirty too. This fabric technology is at the forefront of theatrical design. And this same person, she does costumes for Broadway and whatnot, but she also laser prints fabric to cover, for example, giant Boeing jets for the army in camouflage. So it's a really amazing technology. And so all of the costumes, and in fact, our whole set is all soft goods fabric that has been laser printed this way.
Well, you don't want to mix the two up either. You'll have a cast member dancing across the stage camouflage and you won't even see her.
that is true. That is true.
Do you have, tell me about the sets. I mean, there's probably some pretty wild sets going on too.
Yeah. It's minimalist, but it's okay. Very full. Like for the caterpillar, there's huge mushroom prints and you are able to see, even though it's a little dark, but you see that you're in a forest of mushroom. The tree also are there for the Tweedles when they're running through the forest. The trial scene that I refer to, it's cards, lots of cards. It looks like you're in a world of a deck of cards. And
the different House of Cards, it comes to yes, DC, guys.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
This is the original. We are the original. They stole it from us. Yeah. Footnote, Washington Ballet.
Take that, Kevin Spacey.
Exactly. Actually, I think he attended my cattle call audition last month in New York, and we cut him from the audition, Kevin Spacey.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. Okay. But actually, about the set, also, Luis mentions that it's minimal. That's one of the interesting evolutions of the ballet world. 19th century scenic design and opera design and theater design assumed the audiences needed every piece of information. In fact, audiences are really smart. They don't need a lot of information. It's more exciting for them to be involved. So, for example, when we're in the Queen of Hearts Rose Garden, the giant stage backdrop, where you're inside of a rose in full bloom, a giant rose that's like 40 feet wide and 30 feet high. So you're really inside of it. It's like a single big gesture, theatrical gesture that makes you understand where you are, but also draws you in a way that kind of a literal interpretation might not.
Gotcha. And the fun part about the scenery also is that give us a background for all the flying that happens in the show, because that's a way that we use to show how Alice is traveling through time.
It's going to be interesting to see how you pull the time travel off on stage.
Actually, the Flying by Foy, it's a firm that in the 1940s first started to develop a theatrical adaptation of Peter Pan. Those early days of Mary Martin on Broadway and whatnot, Foy really was a pioneer. And so we're working with Foy for Alice in Wonderland.
Like
so
wire
Alice flies. Yeah, wire technology. I actually can't tell you exactly how it works or I would have to kill you.
All right.
It's a secret.
Well, this is why the interview's ending, because Septime Weber has officially killed me.
Oh no. Off with his head. Off with his head.
Off with our heads. Hey, well, all right. Well, is there anything else, before we wrap up? I really appreciate you coming in. I mean, why if our listeners hear this, what's the final sell to bring either the family or themselves, just by themselves? Come
well,
on.
Well, I think it's just a really adventuresome ride down the rabbit hole. And my advice to audiences, if they come, fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be quite a ride.
Easy there, Betty Davis. All right, guys. Hey, off with our heads.